We're glad to present your speaker, Brother V. E. Howard.
And now, a personal question. Have you ever seriously considered the question, am I sure that I shall be among the saved whom Jesus will receive when He returns at the end of time on this earth? That's a question for serious thought. And now, question. Where does Jesus save us? Is there an exclusive realm in which salvation from sin may be enjoyed? Indeed there is, and the Bible is clear setting forth this vital truth. This is what the Apostle said in Ephesians 5, verse 23. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ also is the head of the church, being Himself the Savior of the body. Of what is Christ the Savior? The Bible says, the body. But what is the body? The Apostle explains in the very same epistle, chapter 1, verses 22 and 23, when he said, And he put all things in subjection under his feet, and gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body. The body is the church, the Apostle declared. The Bible affirms that Christ is the Savior of the body. Therefore, it must be concluded that Christ is the Savior of the church, which is his body. You can't misunderstand that, can you? People have often said that the church does not save anybody, and in a way that is true. Christ is the Savior, but the church is the saved. If one could be saved apart from Christ's church, he could be saved without the blood of Christ, because the inspired man of God, Paul, told the elders of the church at Ephesus that Christ purchased the church with his own blood. He said, Feed the church of the Lord, which he hath purchased with his own blood. You read that in Acts chapter 20 and verse 28. If the church was purchased by the blood of Christ, which the Bible declares to be the truth, then could one be saved by the blood of Christ without being a part of his church? Obviously not. A person may as well talk about being saved apart from the blood of Christ as to assume that one can be saved without being a member of the Lord's church. The Bible declares that Christ is the Savior of the body, which is His church. The church and salvation are inseparable. My friends, I say, are you listening? Has it occurred to you that the same process that saves one is the same process that places one into the church of the Lord? On that memorable day of Pentecost, recorded in Acts chapter 2, as many as heard and obeyed Peter's inspired words were baptized, and the Lord, the Bible says, added them to the church. Now that's what your Bible says in Acts 2, verses 41 and 47. The saved were added to the church. Those who were saved were added to the church, and those who were saved by the blood of Christ were added to the church. Those who obtained remission of sins by virtue of the blood of Christ were added to the Lord's church. One does not become a Christian or become saved at one point in life, then become a member of the church years later or even minutes later. That is the denominational concept of it. But ladies and gentlemen, that is not the biblical concept by any means. Read and meditate very carefully upon Acts chapter 2, verses 38, 41, and 47. The inspired Apostle Paul teaches in Ephesians 4, 5 that there is one baptism. He affirms in 1 Corinthians 12, 13 that we are baptized into the one body. But Galatians 3, 27 and Romans 6, 3 informs us that we are baptized into Christ, into His death. Therefore, at the very same time and by the very same identical process, that one comes into Christ, at that very same time and at that very same way, he comes into his spiritual body, the church. The Scriptures not only teach this, but common wisdom suggests that if one is in Christ, he is in the body of Christ. How could one be in Christ and not be in his spiritual body? This is impossible. To be in Christ is to be in his body, his church. Now another question about salvation. Many responsible people expect to be saved without being born again. How about you? May a person be saved without being born again, born into the kingdom of God? Furthermore, can one be born again without being in the kingdom of the Lord? The Bible gives the answer. In John 3:5, Jesus declared that a person must be born again to enter the kingdom. Therefore, to be born again is to be a child of God in the kingdom of God. If not born again, one is not a child of God in the kingdom of God. If not a child of God in the kingdom of God, then obviously one need not expect to be saved as a child of God. Notwithstanding the fact that Jesus declared you must be born again, some would say that being a citizen of the kingdom, a member of the church, is not necessary. Now another question is in order. Did you know that to be a child of God in the kingdom of God is the same thing as being a member of the Lord's church, saved by the blood of the Lord? The Bible gives the answer. In Acts 20:28, the inspired apostle affirmed that the church of God, the church of the Lord, was purchased by the blood of Christ. In Revelation 1:5-6, the Bible declares that the kingdom of the Lord was purchased by the blood of the Lord. Therefore, to be a citizen of the kingdom of the Lord is to be a member of the church of the Lord. And to be a member of the church of the Lord is to have been saved by the blood of the Lord, a citizen of the kingdom of the Lord. These are scriptural, inevitable conclusions. Now some personal questions. Have you been born again? Are you a child of God, a citizen of His kingdom? Are you a member of the Lord's church, having been purchased by the blood of Christ? These are questions which concern the destiny of your soul. The New Testament teaches that one is a new creature in Christ. Being a new creature in Christ is being a member of the body of Christ. To the church at Corinth, the apostle wrote, "For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of the body being many are one body, so also is Christ. For in one Spirit were we all baptized into one body." 1 Corinthians 12:12-13. Furthermore, the apostle declared, "Wherefore, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things are passed away. Behold, they are become new." 2 Corinthians 5:17. To be a new creature is to be in Christ. To be in Christ is to be in the body of Christ, the church of the Lord. A person, therefore, cannot be a new creature in Christ, separate and apart from the Lord's church. My friends, did you know that redemption and forgiveness of sins are related to the Lord's church? Paul taught by inspiration that redemption, the forgiveness of sins, is directly related to the kingdom of the Son of His love. You read that in Colossians 1:13-14. Redemption and forgiveness are freely bestowed on us in the Beloved, in whom we have our redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses. The apostle declared in Ephesians 1:6-7. We have presented from the Scriptures the indisputable facts that the kingdom of the Lord is the church of the Lord, and those redeemed by the blood of the Lord are members of the church of the Lord. And I ask you once more to read very carefully Matthew 16:18-19, Acts 2:47-48, and Acts 20:28, Revelation 1:5-6. In this text, the Colossians 1:13, it is clearly revealed that those who are delivered out of the power of darkness, the Bible says, are translated into the kingdom of the Son of His love. It must be concluded that if the kingdom does not exist today, then no one is delivered out of the power of darkness. But the Bible says that everyone who is delivered from the power of darkness is in the kingdom of the Son of His love, having been redeemed and forgiven of his sins by virtue of the atoning blood of the Christ. We must conclude, therefore, that redemption, forgiveness, are inseparable with the Lord's church. The Lord's church consists of those who are redeemed by the blood of the Lord, having obtained forgiveness of sins. Now, did you know that the church is the bride of Christ? And when Christ comes again, He's coming to receive His bride? Yes, the church is the bride of Christ. Paul affirmed in Romans 7:1-4, and in Ephesians 5, verses 23 through 32. After having discussed the marital relationship between husband and wife, and applied appropriate principles to Christ and His church, the apostle concluded, "For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall cleave to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This mystery is great, but I speak in regard of Christ and of the church." The church, according to the statement, is the spiritual bride of Christ. And hear the apostle again, and I say, are you listening? "Wherefore, my brethren, ye also made dead to the law by the body of Christ, that ye should be married to another, even to him who was raised from the dead, that we should bring forth fruit unto God." That's found in Romans 7, verse 4. Yes, the church is the bride of Christ. The apostle makes this truth clear and positive in the quotations just given. "Let no man make mockery of the spiritual marriage of the Lord." It must be understood that our Lord said that He loved His church, His bride, and died for her. Would one want to separate Christ from His bride, His church? Should there be a divorcement between Christ and His church? Who would want to be a party to that separation? Who is willing to say that Christ loved His church so much that He died for the church, and yet the church, His bride, is non-essential? In the final message for the churches, exhorting faithfulness to the Lord, the closing words of the Bible state, "And the Spirit and the bride say, Come. And he that heareth, let him say, Come. And he that athirst, let him come. He that will, let him take of the water of life freely." Revelation 22:17. Ladies and gentlemen, that will be the finality of all things on earth and the beginning of an endless eternity. Will Jesus return for you, His bride, as a member of the church? That is a question of life and destiny. Are you a member of the Lord's church, His spiritual bride? Where will you spend eternity? Another question for final consideration. What must we do to keep saved? We must be faithful until death. John teaches in Revelation 13 that those who die in the Lord, that is, those who die in faithful relationship with Christ, are they who are blessed and will receive the rest from their labors on earth and in eternity of joy in heaven. Those who are faithful unto death and until death, are they shall live with Christ throughout all the ages of eternity. In the lesson of Matthew 25 and 21 and 23, Jesus is said to honor with heavenly salvation those who are the good and faithful servants. Revelation 22:14 says that those who do His commandments shall be given the right to enter the gates of the new and holy Jerusalem and partake of the tree of life. To remain among the saved, we must live soberly and righteously and godly, according to Titus 1:16. We must cease to do evil and learn to do well. We must win others to the Lord. We must be faithful in our work, in our worship, in our watching, in our waiting, in our praying. You may read that in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 10. The Apostle Peter gives special exhortation to those who have been saved from their past sins in order for them to keep saved. Read very carefully 2 Peter 1, 5 through 11 and verses 20 through 22 of the same chapter. Eternal salvation requires all diligence on your part, the apostle admonished. The apostle Peter declared, "Receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your soul." 1 Peter 1, verse 9. Salvation is conditional. Eternal life comes to those who are faithful to the Lord until the end. It is not faith only that saves or keeps us saved. It is a faith that moves us to obey the Lord and keep on doing God's will until our soul departs from our body and takes its flight on wings of God's abiding mercy to that eternal paradise of God, to bask in the sunlight of God's love and smile of grace